Jesus, thank you that we can come and glorify your name. Jesus, be glorified in our lives as well. I just thank you for the privilege we have, Lord, of being able to meet together like this and worship you. So I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that as we hear your word, Lord, that we would be open to that too. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, please have a seat. So you thought you got off the hook and we weren't going to take an offering, but we're going to. So if you're a member of the church, I don't even have to tell you to give. If you're visiting, please feel under no obligation whatsoever to give. It's great if you do. So the ushers, can you guys take up the offerings along? And whilst they do that, I'm going to ask Vili to come up and share quite an amazing testimony about what's happened in his life in the last few days. Oh yeah, guys, the new people, please put your cards that you've written on so that we can be like Big Brother and check you out. Eh? Okay.
All right. Hi, guys. Yes, and like I think Flo said, I had the privilege in participating in the Epic. To participate in the Epic, you have to prepare for it. And in preparing for it, I was unfortunate to have a collision with a tree, which took me out and put me to the ground. But that caused actually a hideous hernia that was diagnosed a couple of months later. So that's in Afrikaans a mantelvliesbreuk. So there's two options for you when you have a hernia like that, is either go for operation or use a pill every day to take out the acid in your stomach. So I choose the sissy option and took the pills for the last couple of years. Now, at the end of last year, I was privileged enough to be blessed with a new bike, and as a good biker I am, I pushed the limits again and took a couple of crashes, which probably caused the damage that I experienced last week. Tuesday evening, around 12-ish when I went to bed, I couldn't breathe. It was as if my lungs didn't really use its full capacity. And I searched for my asthma pump, used it, didn't really work. It seemed like to worsen the case, and I sort of felt like my body was going to shut down on me. Phoned my parents, privileged enough that they are still in Bloemfontein. They came rushing over, took me to the ER. The doctor checked me out, gave me a bit of calm medicine, and told me that I need to go for a scope. Unfortunately, it was only on Friday. This happened on Tuesday. So Wednesday, I stuck it out. Came to Legacy. Unfortunately, I didn't feel that great. After the first session, Tad and Yapi prayed for me. It sort of faded away. And as they were praying, I seriously believed God would heal this. And so that's why it sort of faded away. But that evening, it just came back a bit hot, same as it was on Tuesday. And asked Tad and Cameron and Alistair to seriously pray, because I don't seemed to get a breakthrough, because they already prayed for me, so I believed I was healed. Rushed to the hospital again, because hoping that they will do the scope earlier. Unfortunately, they just gave me meds again, did an EKG, which checked out quite good. But on Friday, the guys, the prayer warriors at intercession, prayed for me, and the report came back from the doctor after the scope that there's no break anymore. I'm completely healed. Everything checked out normal. So, needless to say, I came to Legacy on Friday, feeling fine, testifying that God did heal me. But this is where the crazy part comes in, is that sometimes God do heal us, but the enemy is not going to rest in that. And Friday evening after Legacy, I went to bed, and this symptoms reappeared. But now I've got some admonition going, that firstly I know that God healed me because I've got the report. And the Bible says that we need to stand firm and the enemy will flee. So that's what I did, is I stand firm and the enemy did flee. So last night I went, before going to bed, prayed to God and prayed over my room and tried to close all the doors that I can think of. And I had the best night rest in the last week. So I want to encourage you guys that sometimes it only costs us to believe. It is said in the Bible as well that Jesus didn't do as much in his hometown, because most of the people didn't believe. So if you are keen, I'm willing to pray for you after the service, and the prayer warriors are definitely going to pray for you. But come with an open heart and believe. And even if you don't have faith, we have faith and we will believe, and we can pray for that belief to be strengthened. And so be encouraged. God still heals and miracles still happen. So praise be to God.
God, that's great. I want to pray for you, Billy. I just have a sense that like when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, only one came back. Eh? And he said, thank you. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done in Billy's life. Lord, I thank you that it can be something you can use to tell other people about, Lord, and that genuinely you've come and met him in his place of need. And I pray, Lord, that you would just abundantly bless him, Lord, that he would grow more and more in you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's just pray over the offering as well. Lord, thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for the gift these people have given to us, Lord, as a church. And Lord, we want to give it back to you and ask that your name would be glorified through this, Lord. You would multiply this for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Okay, guys, my name is Cameron McIntosh. Not very Afrikaans for Bloemfontein. I'm busy specializing at Universitas Hospital Further in Medicine. And that's my little boy. He's 2.5. It's our vegetable garden. And that was this morning. We harvested some marrows. They're meant to be baby marrows, but you can see they're a little bit bigger. So think about that as we go through tonight. Can we just pray, eh? Lord Jesus, we come before you now and we ask Jesus that you would show up. Holy Spirit, come and be present here tonight. Come and speak deeply into our hearts. Come and change us and make us more like you, Jesus. Satan, I command you in Jesus' name, you have no place here and you must leave now. And I pray, Lord, that this will be a place where lives would be changed deeply. Amen. So, guys, I am talking to you tonight on a chapter that I think you can preach on probably for a whole year. And I was deeply challenged about this. I really feel, I mean, I've been a Christian for 21 years, and I feel so inadequate standing here trying to make sense of this. And my prayer is really that in the next 20 or 25 minutes that the words that I try and explain to you would bear fruit in your lives. Eh? So to try and put this in context, Jesus, they've just had the Last Supper, okay, with his disciples. These are guys he's spent 3 years with, and he wants to share and impart the most important things that he's taught them. In a few hours' time, he's going to get betrayed and he's going to get murdered. He's going to get hung up on a cross. So the weight of what he's saying here, in a way, we just have to be still and listen. I've got three questions that I want you to think about whilst we read through. The what, the how, and the why. Firstly, in this section, what are we told? How are we told to achieve this? And why do we have to do this? So think about those things as we read through those 19 verses. Okay? It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So the first question was, what does it say in the passage? And there, again, three answers. And I've just written down, if you are taking notes, which I hope you are, the verses that those things are said in. Firstly, we are chosen by Jesus. Guys, it's a fallacy to say, I have chosen Jesus. You have not chosen Jesus. Your reputation is not at stake here. Jesus has chosen you. And he believes in you enough that he's prepared for his reputation to be at stake. It's bollocks to think that I've chosen Jesus. You have not chosen Jesus. He designed you. He's given you the most unbelievable, gracious gift to follow him. And if we can understand that when we screw up, that we're actually hurting his reputation, suddenly we might think again about it. How easy it is to flirt with the world, eh? Clearly, here he says, love. Now, so I arrive in Bloom, and it's quite a small little town. I've been fortunate to see the world and do lots of things in my life, and I'm in this department, and I get stuck with this one guy, and we headbanging, eh? And it's getting very frustrating for me, and I just want to put him out the window, eh? And I share this with my brother, and he's full-time ministry in Taiwan. And I'm so frustrated because this guy is such a chop and he's doing this and he's doing that and I sort of flatten him and blah. Lachlan just stops me dead in my tracks. He says to me, Cameron, it's actually quite easy. It's just two words. Love him. And suddenly the whole situation is diffused and changed. And how can I have become so silly in my faith that I'd get so psyched up about this that my Sunday night church here isn't carrying right through my life? We've chosen to bear fruit. And in reading about this stuff, I think there's two types of fruit we bear. There's fruit we bear within, and there's fruit we bear without. All of them are for God's glory. I'm going to jump across to Galatians and just read this to you. Now, I want you to get two things out of this. The first thing is the difference between acts and fruit, okay? The acts being either I'm acting, so it's not the real me, or I'm doing it within my own power, so it's an act. A fruit grows without me doing anything. I water it, I get the soil ready, but Jesus makes it grow. So the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred. You know, I don't do any of that idolatry, but hatred, ooh, suddenly I... Discord, jealousy. Jealousy is up there. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Brings me on to my second point, the difference between the acts and the fruit. Put your name in there. Does that describe you? But the fruit of Cameron, hello, is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And the challenge immediately for us there is, if I'm living a life that has those fruit, then I can get windgat in front of my friends and say, look at what a great Christian I am. Guys, you're not a great Christian. It's God's grace in our lives that allows us to bear fruit. The other point with fruit is, think about it. I've heard it said a few times. If you get taken to court and they want to put you in jail because you're a Christian, are they going to be able to convict you of that? Are your works showing you're a Christian? Or are you actually just here on a Sunday night, but during the week you're just like anybody else? And guys, as I say this, I'm speaking of my own life here. This was for me exceptionally challenging to work through this. And I know I haven't gotten there yet. I look at this, and this is what Paul writes in Galatians. He also writes it in Philippians. Remember, if you want to remember his first few letters, it's Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's actually quite funny. Anyway, so listen to what he says here. He says in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now here it comes. Listen to this. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And if you do that, the God of peace will be with you. Those are huge words. Can I stand here and say to you, guys, whatever you've seen, heard, learned or received from me, put that into practice. Sure, it's immensely challenging to be able to say that to somebody. So let's move on to the next part. How we've been told we've got to bear fruit, we've got to love, but how do we do that? And again, in verse 4 and 6 and 9, Jesus keeps on saying, being in me, being in the vine. And one of the translations I have is the word abide. If you abide in somebody, well, you've got to abide in Jesus, there are two parts to it. And Jesus talks about it as well. He says, me and you, you and me. And the one is a more proactive, and the one is a more letting go, if it's not really the right word. But if I want to abide in Jesus, the spiritual disciplines is fasting, is prayer, as reading my Bible. I make a concerted effort. I've got to put effort in. But when he abides in me, it's when I let go of my rights. And I say, okay, Lord, this is me driving the motor car of my life. I know where I want to go. I step aside. I'm going to sit in the passenger seat and allow you to lead me. And that's what abiding is. And we can do that practically in three easy ways, guys. The Word, the Spirit, and prayer. This book is alive. It's not just the paper it's written on. The words, Jesus is very clear about what he says and how it's written by so many different people over so many different years, yet it's Holy Spirit inspired to change our lives. We have to be filled with the Spirit. And this is where it's really difficult, that you've got to get that balance right between the so-called evangelicals and the Pentecostals, where we want to be word-based, but if we're too much in the Word and we're not in the Spirit, we become dry hypocrites. Yet if you don't know your Bible, you're spending time in the Word, daily you become all spiritual and you lose the plot completely. And we can get that right by spending every day reading our Bibles and pray. And prayer is a personal thing. It's a 2-3 people together. It's a cell group. It's the church. It's corporate prayer. But prayer, prayer, prayer. So I want to encourage you guys, to abide in Jesus takes effort, as well as being able to float. You can have a picture yourself in going down a river. I mean, I paddled. It was all to do with using the water. And sometimes in the middle of an enormous race where you are flat out, you need to stop and just let the water move you in the right way. And it's the same with Jesus. We, at times, we're pushing effort in. It's difficult to wake up at 5 o'clock and have a quiet time. You know? But at times we need to stop and allow him to take over. One of the things that I was found really interesting in reading about it is, you know, it's a mark of us as daily we spend time with Jesus. And it's not so much the bad stuff, but the good stuff that stops us from doing it. So I've got maybe an hour free over lunchtime. And I've penciled it and I want to have a quiet time. One of my mates phones me up. I haven't seen him for a few days or weeks. Let's go for a coffee. Yeah, cool, Jesus will still be there. We don't want to be religious about it, but we need to be very disciplined to say, yes, my little boy wants to see me. I'll see him, but I need to know that for me to be a better dad, a better husband, a better friend, a better doctor, I'll be there if I know I'm plugged into God every day. It's not good enough to come to church on a Sunday night and think that that's going to carry me through the week. Let's get to the third. Why is it that we should be bearing fruit? Three reasons again. Number one, for God's glory. Not our glory. If we're seeking our own name and how cool I am, you're going to be a branch? It's broken off, thrown in the fire. We need to mature in our faith. Paul in his letters is constantly about how you need to add these different virtues to your life. And I'm sure if you think about the Christians you know, there's this honeymoon period when you first get converted and the oak's on fire, but not mature yet. And then just as in the parable of the sower, some people, it just withers away. Some people have a little bit of a root. Some people get stuck into money, sex, and power. And a few people have this fruitful life where this baby marrow becomes this massive, massive vegetable to feed the family. So I want to go to the next slide. And leave you guys with three questions. Again, a what, a how, and a why. From what we've read through tonight and I've spoken about, is what fruit am I bearing in my life? If I had to read Galatians, am I more on the, what they say, flesh? And flesh always sounds to me such a religious connotation. Am I, as a person, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, or not? And then, what are my works? My works aren't going to just, my works will never get me to heaven. They're like, they say, a filthy rag. It's nothing that will get me to heaven. But yet, at the same time, I've got to be living out that life. That's the first question. The second one is, how is my heart soiled condition? When Jesus looks at me, does he see somebody who is a faithful person who he wants to grow seeds in their heart that are going to build the kingdom? Or does he see somebody who is hard-hearted, somebody who is semi-committed but not completely? How does Jesus see my heart? And I know at times, during the period of the Olympics, I think I'd idolize canoeing in my life. And I'd like just do the church thing and like go to do talks or whatever and put stuff on the website. But really, nobody knows your heart but God and you. And guys, it's so easy. We all know we can make it look nice and we can put a face on. But genuinely, what's the condition of your heart? And the third question is, why am I doing this Christian thing? I think William had an amazing quote last week about this false kind of pretense of trying to glorify God, but we actually want to glorify ourselves. Do I actually care about my reputation or not? Is it more important what people think of me than what God thinks of me? And these are hard questions we've got to ask ourselves, guys. So, I want to finally end it off with this last slide. And I actually brought one of these mirrors with me. So I like trying to be practical about my faith. Jesus used to tell parables about practical stuff. So, I mean, this is meant to be a baby mirror, and look how massive this thing got. All I did was I prepared the soil. I fertilized it with organic earthworm wee. I watered it every day. And look at this. I did nothing. I just got everything prepared. And this is, I mean, guys, this morning, if you had come, we had a basket full of maybe 40 of these things. So I had to keep one for tonight, but everybody was there this morning, took one for themselves. And I want you guys to think about this. Next time you go out there, the vegetables. I mean, is my heart where God's going to grow vegetables, His fruit, that's going to nourish people and change people and build the kingdom? You know, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, these things, seeds, it was amazing. The whole vegetable garden we planted was off seeds 6 weeks ago. There was nothing. It was grass. I mean, ground. And it's just wonderful how the Word and Jesus can work in our lives. It's a small little seed and it just grows in our lives. So guys, my encouragement is this. Be in the vine. Be close to Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Make an effort every day to spend time with Jesus. Because otherwise you're going to the fire. Eh? I don't want to go to the fire. I really don't want to go to the fire. So I'm going to end now. If anybody has anything they want to pray for or be prayed about, please come up to the front. We've got people who will happily pray for you. And we'll sing one more song. And so I'm going to close with a prayer and release you after the song. Please come and have some coffee at the back here. And if you want to have anything whatsoever you want us to pray for, we're more than willing to do that at the front. So have a great week. And go and be more than conquerors, guys. Don't hold back, man. Go out there and love. There isn't any rules against saying you're not allowed to be full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So we are the aroma of Christ in this society. We are the light on a hill. We are the salt in this world. So go and do that, eh? Don't pay lip service to it. Okay, let's sing again, Flo. Our Lord Jesus, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you that we can hear your word. And Lord, you've promised that your word will not come back void to you, but it achieves the purposes you have for it. And I pray, Lord, that these words would burn in our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and fill us again. Come and change our hearts. And come and have baby marrows that grow in our hearts, Jesus. And may we be people who are faithful, Lord. People who you look down upon and say, that's my good and faithful servant. So we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.